We all ready.
Well, we're not waiting on Mr. Coffey.
No, we're not waiting on an attorney. No, they charge more than we do an hour.
Well, I got 6 o'clock.
I do too. We ready to roll. Soon as Miss Ruth gets seated, we're gonna do that. Don't you rush.
I didn't rush.
Don't rush. All right, welcome everybody to the first annual Westminster City Council meeting. Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Holliday.
No, Mr. Holliday's tardiness.
Sorry, I was on phone call.
We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. If you would, please stand and join us for the invocation, the Pledge of Allegiance.
So am I. Let's pray. Holy God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we give you thanks for this new year, for this new opportunity to come together in service to you and to our community and to our citizens. God, make your spirit and your presence palpable to us tonight that we may see your wisdom and knowledge and understanding in the decision making that faces us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's face the flag. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Certify quorum, please.
I certify quorum.
Do we have anybody lined up for public comments?
Leslie Haggerty.
Ms. Haggerty.
Yes, I'm here to hopefully have a conversation about the new ideas for how to process your hospitality tax request. I go through this with the City of Wahala, City of Westminster, and Oconee County every year, if not a couple times a year, since we have locations in two towns. And so when I saw this on Thursday, it alarmed me a little bit, since sort of the arrangement we've always had with the city for the museum was that the city would help provide the utilities and operational costs, the basic utilities and operational costs associated with the museum here in Westminster. And you know, eventually that sort of morphed into your hospitality tax request, and that's been working out well. My fear was that if we start seeing it being limited to the percentage of tourism that we see every year, that could put a big dent in our operational financing and our ability to operate. So for instance, if the, say, 4,000 I think that we got last year made up 50% of the budget, but we only saw 30% tourism, that's a 20% shortfall that I would have to be addressing on the fly, and that's pretty big. So I just wanted to kind of raise that, because the nice thing about municipal level hospitality tax that I've seen has been that you're not legally limited to that tourism factor the way that the county is, because they receive state funding. You kind of raise your own funds, you decide how you want to spend them yourself, and that's a nice thing. So you can do things for the community, for the locals. And as somebody who does a lot of this, it's nice to see funding that can just be for locals sometimes and not just for tourists. No shame on the tourists, but I say it's the county ATAX is there for that. If those of us who want to dip into that fund, it's available. So those are my concerns. If you want to talk about it, I'm here.
Well, Ms. Haggerty, are you going to be here for a little bit longer when we bring this up? Okay, Mr. Brunson, you can address all that during that. Okay. Yeah, we've already discussed that, so we've got something that might help you feel a little better about that. Anyone else?
Thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
That's all.
All right, comments from council? Anybody have anything? I've got a few here. Just want to remind everybody that February 7th and 8th is the Hometown Legislative Action Day and the Elected Officials Training. If you haven't already signed up, please contact Ms. Hoverton, and hope you'll be able to join us for that. Kevin, we've got the 2023 Municipal Achievement Awards applications. Are you aware of those? Is that something you think we might could put the electrical infrastructure in there, or is it something that has to be done in 1 year?
I
I got that application today. I'll be happy to look at it and see if we have anything that may fit.
Yeah, I think it'd be, we've done a good job with that. Y'all have done a good job with that. So if it's something we could get, I'd love to do that. And then I just want to let council and the administration know that we care. The nonprofit that provides meals and clothing for the needy in our town, and they've been doing this for about 30 years. Their group, Seventh-day Adventist Church in Bountyland, actually provides this service. That's their ministry. They have had to shut down due to some issues with the building. And we had a meeting today with Oconee Food Council, and we're in the process of trying to find them some solutions to their problems. So anybody has any ideas or anybody wants to discuss that, let me know, because we're going to be trying to work on that in the next few weeks. Anyone have anything else? All right, move on to routine business. Approval of December 13, 2022 regular meeting minutes. You all have a copy of those in your agenda. I'm sure you've all had an opportunity to look over them. We need a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Davey?
Yes.
Aldrin?
Yep.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Next, we have comments from the Interim Utilities Director, Mr. Harbin.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, they should always start with something good, so I'm going to go backwards. List from what's on the agenda. As of yesterday, we were finally able to meet with Norfolk Southern and get the railroad crossing power changeover done. So there is one day in the next week or so where they'll have to get with a couple of businesses to schedule a short outage to actually, because we had switched them over, so they would not be out all day yesterday during the changeover.
Okay.
So we've got to switch them back over, and it'll be complete. The entire 4 to 12 kV will be complete. So that's good news. The sign coming into town, I know it looks like there hasn't been anything going on, but with the holidays, cold weather, and once again with, I spoke to the guy doing it today, logistics, getting materials. They have the rock and everything that they could rock, but he doesn't want to rock it until the sign's up. He expects the signs to be complete by the end of next week. He can install them, and then the rock work will be, so he said within 2 weeks it should be complete. So the extreme cold weather we had a couple of weeks ago. I know if you live in town, you most likely your area suffered with some low or no water pressure. Day one, the problem came from Foxwood Hills. They had an enormous amount of busted lines in their area, and it was water was just flowing through there.
Where?
Foxwood Hills.
Okay.
We supply Tessie, who
right.
handles their water.
Okay.
They had a tremendous amount. They have a lot of summer houses where people aren't in all the time. That
okay.
No one's prepared for this kind of weather.
Sure.
But they did a great job of getting that flow of water slowed down. And then it was a fight to find it. And as you know, you might call it a rolling water blackout. An area would have water and it would slow down and it could stop. Sometimes 15, 20 minutes later, it'd come back. So I spoke to our engineers, and some other municipalities. What we feel, we never could lock it down and find one thing. What we feel has happened, in speaking to the engineers, is we had ice forming in some of the lines. We have a fair amount of exposed water lines at every, because of our bridges, the amount of bridges we have on our system. Everywhere you have a bridge or a creek, you have an exposed water line. They're ductile iron and should hold up, they won't crack, but the water can freeze inside of them. They're telling us that what we think happened is the ice was forming in those lines and then breaking loose. And it would move through the system. And if it hit a valve that fed a street or an area and block or slow down that flow. Well, after a half hour, sometimes a couple hours, it would work its way out. It would thaw out with the temperature of the water that was in there, and they would have water again, and someone else would. Our water crew, you know, all kudos to them. They worked an enormous amount of hours over Christmas. There was one of the guys, I think he spent 4 hours out of Christmas with his family, and that's out of the 24 hours, not just the wet days. So they chased problems. They were pulling meters to see if water was behind. You know, everybody that called in, if we could get to them, it got to the point where the answering service was putting a blanket message out that just said, we know you're having problems. So our beeper stopped, and we're like, hey, we've got a handle on it, till we realized they just couldn't get through the calls. So we chased those. They chased them. We actually rotated our on-call guys every 24 hours instead of every 2 weeks. So every 24 hours, somebody else was going on call to try to take the load off. But we made it through it. And, you know, I'm not going to say none the worse for wear, but...
You know. I just want to thank you guys, all of you, all of the utility departments, because it could have been a lot worse than it was.
Yes.
And, I mean, for us to only have been without power for a couple of hours at the beginning of the event is light years above where we would have been a few years ago.
And we can all thank Lee Baker and his leadership for that, and getting the right-of-ways and the trees cut.
Right.
You know, that
and y'all have carried on that type of service, so thank you to everyone in your departments for that.
All right, moving on. Now let me go to Park Place Ice Cream Shop. Some of you may have heard they have been having a lot of trouble with their sewer. We have sewer issues throughout the city. That one has been a real pain to a lot of people. We have got locates in. We're going to have to close down part of East North Avenue to dig up the sewer and try to replace it. We've camered it. We've done everything. We've actually got them now on a schedule. Every 2 days, we're trying to go by there and flush that out and try to keep them moving. We have them on schedule for this Thursday to get that done. The reason it's Thursday, number one, is getting the locates called in. We have that. However, this is the other thing that I tell you about first. Tabor Road had a 10-foot culvert connecting Harple Lake. We have an 8-inch water line that runs above, slightly offset their culvert through there. That culvert is now gone. The road is actually still intact over it, but the culvert is no longer under it. It is a cavern. What's holding the asphalt up, the county can't tell us. Nobody can tell us. About 6 feet of our water line is actually exposed. If it moves a few feet in either direction and the bell where the pipes connect is uncovered, that pipe will blow out. And that will be a monster because of the valve situation. So we are actually going tomorrow. We did emergency locates on that, and that's what had to push the sewer back. We've got to cut two valves in tomorrow to try to be able to isolate that where the county can get in there and repair the line. County's waiting on us, and we're just praying that we can make it one more day without that line blowing out. So that's all I've got. Be happy to answer any questions anyone may have.
Kevin, do you see any solution or any resolution to the issue we run into with that cold water? Do we have this cold weather again? Is there anything we can do that might keep us from going through that?
There's really not. With the amount of bridge crossings we have, if that's what happened, and we're all, you know, we're going on conjecture that that is what the cause was, because there was no other. It's when you can't find any cause, but that's. Guess is what you have to go with.
Mm.
So when you've got exposed iron pipes at every bridge and every creek that we have, you just run the risk of if we get into the 4 days of, you know, sub-freezing temperatures, we could have that problem.
All right. Well, I want to ditto what Ms. Reese said, y'all done a really good job, no doubt. I mean, it was, I was extremely proud of the fact we didn't have any outage, any electrical outages more than what we had.
Kevin, were you able to get any information on the phone service with the recording?
Yeah, like Kevin Harbin said a minute ago, we were not aware that the service had switched off answering the calls to just putting a blanket message out there. My understanding is they did that because they could not handle the call volume. We will work with that group, or we've already talked internally, if we have another event of that type, we're going to manage our own calls. The call service is like every other industry right now. They are not fully staffed. And what we realized, particularly during the water event, was had we had staff at City Hall, we probably could have helped the guys locate the phantom issues that we kept having. I can't recall if Kevin just mentioned it or not just a minute ago, but the calls would come in and it would be in one area for half a day, and then it would be in another area another half a day. And Diana Dieska, trying to make sure I say her last name correctly, she was monitoring the levels of the water tanks, which we were keeping those recharged on a much more frequent basis than we normally do. So I'm saying all this to say operationally we were doing everything that we could, even though we were not communicating with the customers and we were not getting their information. So going forward, in any kind of, even if it's a thunderstorm, we have a lot of power outages, we will very likely bring our own resources in at City Hall to help manage that call volume. Because when you let me know that was getting a message, I had no one I could contact at the call service, mm-hmm. because they were on, I mean, it was the holidays. There was a lot of factors that were going in there.
Yeah.
And we were pushing stuff out on Facebook, but not everybody sees that or was seeing that. So
yeah. I think what prompted that, really, you know, me giving you a call on that, was it really wasn't the water flow issue as far as, you know, providing service, but it was really more of it was the sewage issue that Kevin addressed earlier. But if we'd had an electrical issue or something like that, you know, how would we
have
pushed?
Happened. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They would have gotten the recording about water.
And, you know, I have not pulled the contract with our call service, but we know that they were low on staff.
Sure.
It's likely if they hadn't put the message up, the call would have just went unanswered.
Right.
So going forward, if we have something like that, we'll bring our own folks in and answer those calls.
Good. As long as we get a plan. Great. Thanks, Kevin.
And Kevin.
Anybody have anything else? Any more questions for Mr. Harbin? All right, move on. Comments from Mr. Administrator.
Well, I appreciate Mr. Harbin doing all that. He had the bulk of what we needed to say, or would like to inform you of today. The only thing I have for you, Council, is to remind you that Thursday, beginning at noon, we have a priority setting workshop. And hope you will be there. And if you can't be there right at noon, please come in as you can. Jeff Schacker from the Municipal Association will facilitate that for us. And for those of you who are new to the council, I will use what we hear from you Thursday as we build our budget and establish the priorities for funding. So that's it, Mayor. I have no other comments.
Very good. Anybody have any questions, Mr. Bronson?
I appreciated your brevity, Mr. Bronson.
I'm learning as we go.
All right, next, under old business, consider the second reading ordinance number 2023-01-10-1. This is for the equipment lease purchase agreement, not exceeding $310,000. Mr. Brown.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor and Council, this is the second reading of the ordinance that you read at the last council meeting, the last regular session council meeting, that will enable us to purchase a garbage truck a bit out of cycle. nothing changed from first reading to second.
Very good. We need a motion.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Any more questions? Call for a vote.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Kevin, you still think we're going to get that this spring?
Yes, sir. I do.
All right, good.
We may have it before spring.
Great.
Fantastic.
Next, item two, consideration of second reading of ordinance number 2023-01-10-02. This is for the revenue bond for $8,705,000. Mr. Brunson.
Yes, sir. Mayor and Council, I believe you all know that we were awarded a $8.7 million low interest loan from the USDA Rural Development Office. And part of that loan requires us to have interim financing that we will use the money from this bond anticipation note, band as they call it, to actually pay the contractors for the work. And then once all the work's done, the USDA will reimburse us the full amount in one swipe. From first reading to second reading, there were only a few minor edits, the biggest one being the ordinance now allows for us to use variable rate bonds. So at play right now for us is the Federal Reserve, and whether or not they raise interest rates depends on what our interest rate will be when we close on the ban. The banks will run two scenarios for us when we do that. One will be a variable rate ban and one will be a fixed rate ban that will show us what we're likely to save the most money on, given the fact that the Federal Reserve is in this period of moving their rates up. So almost any other time, if we were doing this a year ago, we would not be looking at a variable rate bond or a variable rate on the ban. But given the current environment, so that we get the most cost economical option, our bond attorney put language in here that would allow us to do variable or fixed depending on what the bank gives us as scenarios as we close. The document that you have allows me and you, Mayor, to make that final call with the bond council. Of course, we're going to choose the least cost option, whichever it's going to be. But the ban ordinance did not have that language in it when you did first reading, and that's the only thing that changed from first to second.
Well, this has a span of 40 years.
Yeah. The USDA loan does.
Mm-hmm.
The ban will not.
Okay, so this is only for the ban with a variable.
Yeah, the ban will likely last somewhere 24 to maybe as long as 48 months. It's going to be much shorter term. And the reason we want to save on interest costs for all the reasons of wanting to save money, but we also, by saving on the interest costs, have more money to put into the project.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it like a bridge loan. That's effectively what it is, and because the USDA says we have to have it. So, I mean, we basically, you're, like Kevin said, getting reimbursed by the USDA with that 40-year term on a low interest note, but that's after we go out and get the financing on private markets first.
Mm-hmm.
And Mayor, though I don't recall what that interest rate is, it is already predetermined for the 40-year duration.
Right.
And I think it's somewhere in the 2% range, maybe a little less.
All right, do we have a motion? Motion and second. Any further discussion? Any more questions? Is everybody on council aware of what this project is? Everybody understands what we're looking at here? Okay.
Mayor, are you in discussion phase?
We are.
Okay. Real quick, we had to, with Troy Rozier and with the USDA, we have modified the projects that we will be able to do because of the cost increases in materials and in labor from when we first put this project together. This week when I send my administrator report out, I will show what the projects were that were to be funded and the ones that we now plan to fund. We had to drop three of the smaller projects with a caveat that on Dr. John's Road, we have kind of three segments of Dr. John Road that when we bid it, if we still don't have enough money to do all the projects, we'll shave the very end of that road segment off. All of these come at the recommendation of Troy Rozier based off of what helps us establish the best water pressure, the hydraulics of the looping, and where we've had the most service issues. So I'll send that out. And it's just going to be two maps where you can look at where the original grouping of the projects were and the group that we, I think it was just today that we received approval from the USDA to go ahead and scale that down based on the most recent cost estimates.
Okay.
So there, probably about every other day, Andrew and I are doing something with USDA as we keep this thing moving. So I apologize it wasn't already in your documents, but that was just today they approved it.
It's a big project.
So I think we've talked before about the schedule we have for this project. Your whole team is working as fast and as hard as we can to get this bid and get the project under contract with the contractor prior to the state issuing their ARPA money for water and sewer projects statewide. So to remind you, the state will be issuing a little or give or take $900 million in water and sewer projects, of which we've applied for $5 million in that. Our goal is to get this project under contract before that money hits the street, because if we don't, then the pricing is probably going to go up, and the contractor availability is probably going to be more scarce.
Right.
Originally, USDA had some issue with our aggressive stance on that, but we have worn them down and told them this is the way it is. This gets them what they want, and what they want is for us to have a good outcome, most pipe in the ground as possible. So if you hear of any frayed nerves over our scheduling, I'm the fault of that.
Good to know.
I just wanted to give you kudos because we finally got the USDA on board with the schedule this week, last week.
Yeah, we don't get to tell them what to do. We have to convince them of what we think's best, and sometimes that's not really easy.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations. Thanks for being relentless with them. Anybody have any further questions or discussion about this project? All right, call for a vote, please.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Next, consideration of appointment of the commissioner to the Oklahoma Joint Regional Sewer Authority Board. as everybody knows, Mr. Tally Grant is retired, and it's up to Westminster and Wahala to provide someone to serve for our two cities. I think you've all had opportunity to meet Mr. Dial here. He's the one that Wahala's actually already voted to approve, and he's the one that I would like to nominate tonight. David has been very good at coming to all the sewer authority meetings. He's engaged. He knows what's going on, stays involved, and I think he'll do us a good job, so I would like to nominate him. And if there's anyone else would like to nominate, please do so.
Does that nomination need a second?
It will. It will need a second.
Yes.
We have a second.
I'll second.
We already have a second.
I seconded it.
You can't. That's a third.
We got a third now.
We're going to wait on Mr. Brunson here just a second. He's engaged. We'll wait on you. No, I wasn't stopping you. I just said we was going to wait in case you want to say anything.
No, sir, I don't have anything to add.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to stop your phone. I figured it was important or you wouldn't took it. All right. Nothing to add. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Brian?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Aldrich?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Congratulations, Mr. Dow. We appreciate you being willing to serve and look forward to working with you in the future. Thank you. New business. You ready?
Do you mind, Mayor, if I ask for you to take a 5-minute recess?
I was figuring you were doing.
I'm trying to get our auditor here, and she's lost. So.
Well, do you want to go ahead and move on? Well, we can't do the hospitality. You've got to talk to her. You go ahead. We'll take a 5-minute break. Make a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Sorry, guys. We're waiting on the auditor.
Didn't hear you, Aldrich. My fault.
Well, you go ahead and override Miss Aldrich one time, see what happens. She's a preacher.
You pray you do.
Let me turn this off. I got to go.